Solstice by Ren Makri.
Read by Squishy Owlbear. Note, as this is a one-shot, we're hand-waving the historical accurate speaking and naming conventions for the most part, as well as the setting.
It's vaguely somewhere in Vikingr territory of Scandinavia during 1048 to 1050 CE.
I hope you all enjoy.
Fear the woods where no man steps, where Odin bound his wrath. The darkness shrouds a beast in black, far off the beaten path. Its howl the sign of winter's blight, its eyes the brightest blue. Only released by Ragnarok, the end of me and you.
Styles watched his breath float through the air like tendrils of smoke, each little wisp attempting to reach the sky. The winter solstice was tomorrow. The days were growing shorter, and the nights were growing colder. While Beacon Hills didn't get snow like other villages, the cold and darkness still surrounded them enough for everyone to take notice.
We should go back. Just a few more, Scott. I want to get enough for the solstice.
Styles stood up from the canoe and slammed his Alstetscher into the water.
Water thrashed and bubbled beneath his spear, and he tugged the eel out. The creature was skewered on the two prongs of the spear, still wriggling.
Scott didn't seem impressed.
You shouldn't be speaking in the old tongue. You could get in trouble.
We're the only ones here.
Styles took the eel off his prongs and tossed it into the bag, turning to look at Scott now. Are you going to tell your father-in-law about me using it as your last gift before you go?
No, but...
Then it's fine, right? Just because the Argents don't like it spoken in town doesn't mean I can't use it here. Styles slammed the spear again to try and get another, but the creature slipped away into the darkness. Maybe if they moved a little further into the lake, they could find more.
We should go back,
Scott repeated, holding the sides of the canoe as Styles sat back down.
We said we were going to be back before sundown, and I have to leave before sunrise tomorrow.
Styles let out the deepest sigh. Arguing with Scott when it came to the semantics of time was pointless. If it was possible, Scott would have a little creature that screamed when the sun was setting and rising so everybody could go to bed and wake up at the same time.
Fine, Styles said in defeat.
We can head back through the river and catch some more as we go.
Happy, Scott grabbed the oar and moved the little canoe through the gentle waves of the lake toward the river it fed. Out of protest, Styles wasn't helping and instead counted the fish they had pulled from their fishing trip today. 5 eels, 10 perch, and 20 carp.
Are you going to come and help me clean the fish before you leave tomorrow? Or are you and Allison going to be fruitful and multiply in your childhood bed one more time?
Asked Styles in the most nonchalant expression he could. Styles!
What? It was a question, Styles laughed, grabbing his mittens from the floor of the canoe and putting them on. Everybody knows you've been trying to conceive since your wedding last year.
Scott sputtered something that wasn't exactly words as the canoe floated down a bend into the towering trees.
Does everyone really know?
You both aren't subtle.
Both.
Styles smiled as Scott cursed in the old tongue, tying the bag of fish in a bundle of sheepskin to keep the water from dripping everywhere.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm sure your mom wants to have little Scott sons and Scott daughters running around.
Not that. It's blocked.
Scott pointed behind Styles to where the river was. Sure enough, a massive tree had fallen in just a way that their boat wouldn't fit through the path, but the flow of water hadn't been disrupted.
Styles sighed and grabbed his oar so he could help row to the bank.
They had two options, leave the boat for tomorrow and follow on foot, or lift and push the boat to the other side of the massive tree in the growing dark.
We should tie it up and come back tomorrow, Styles said finally as they reached the western bank, the last light of the sun peeking through the canopy of the trees.
You'll come tomorrow, Scott reminded him.
Right.
After today, Scott wouldn't be able to join Styles on his little escape trips. Scott was going to be the leader of his father's village with his wife at his side, and Stiles would probably never see him again. He didn't want to think about that, though. Then we should get you home before the wife comes searching for you. Scott gave Stiles a smile at that, and the two grabbed everything from their boat to strap to their backs. Have you thought about getting married? Nope. Well, I mean, I thought about it, and then I decided no. Stiles shrugged the sheepskin on his back and fastened it with the leather straps. Even without looking, he could tell Scott was a little disappointed in the answer, but they both knew Stiles was right. There was no place for a wife by Stiles' side.
The silence stretched as they continued down the river's edge toward the village, the gentle sounds of nature the only sound between them.
The path turned down through a grove of pine trees, the smoke of their breath growing stronger as night encroached. What do you think pushed the tree over? Scott asked finally as they round another bend of the path.
A Yutan, obviously.
While Scott didn't say anything in response, Stiles knew there was a look of disappointment on his face. Just because you gave up the old way doesn't mean I did. Scott made a small noise of protest at that. You can't stay in the past forever, Stiles. Stiles did not want to argue on the last day with his best friend and just grunted in response. Silence fell over the two again, and they continued down the path where the footbridge to cross the wide river sat. To Stiles' dismay, the wood had warped with the winter tides, and it looked like it would crumble with a kitten's weight, let alone two grown men and their catch. But it was the only way across. Scott went first, taking each board with careful steps under the light of the stars. He made it about halfway before Stiles started following after, mitten hands clinging to the rope tether that kept the bridge as stable as it was. He could see Scott on the other bank now, taking another step forward as the wood creaked below. 1 foot in front of the other, that's all you have to do, Stiles thought to himself. He was almost to the middle of the river when a loud crack echoed through the air. Wood snapped under his foot, and Stiles felt a cold rush of winter water against his foot. Stiles! Scott called out, but the cacophony of wood and rope snapping drowned him out. The cold rush of water filled his woolen coat and pants, dragging him down into the murky, icy depths. Usually, Stiles was a strong swimmer, but the heavy winter clothing mixed with the fish still strapped to his back made it harder for him to even navigate which way was up. He thrashed through the current as it tore him downstream, breath running out sooner than he would have liked.
Finally, his head breached the surface, eyes bleary from the cold, as he saw that he had flowed downstream, away from the village, and deeper into the part of the forest that Stiles didn't recognize.
It didn't matter, though. All that mattered was getting out of the water and getting warm somehow. Some way. Stiles grabbed a branch hanging over the river, fingers gripping as tightly as he could.
With effort, he dragged himself from the water and onto the shore, scrambling to his feet as soon as he could.
The wind began to rip against his wet clothing, and he instantly felt colder out of the water than in it. Part of him debated jumping back in just to keep himself from freezing to death. Keep moving, Stiles, he whispered to himself, pushing further inland just to find something. The wind was picking up again, and every little gust made Stiles' body tremble.
He had lost one of his shoes and his owl stetcher to the river. He wasn't going to lose anything else.
After what felt like an eternity, Stiles finally saw the mouth of a cave beckoning him. It was barely big enough for him to slip through, which made him think it hadn't been there before. Maybe the gods really were looking out for him today in some twisted way. Inside the cave was warmer, but he was still shivering. Quickly, he stripped his wet clothing off, tossing them in a pile before curling himself as tight as possible on the floor. He had to keep himself warm, but keeping the wet clothing on was a death sentence. Lighting a fire in a cave would be the same fate.
I guess I'm going to see you both sooner than I thought, Stiles whispered to himself, staring at the darkness in the cave as his eyes swam in and out of focus. He wasn't shivering anymore, didn't feel the cold either, which meant he wouldn't be long for this world. At least he would see his parents again.
Warm liquid dripped on his shoulder and chest, and Stiles opened his eyes to see two bright blue lights stared back at him, perfectly round like little stars in the sky. The cold must have been setting in now, because Stiles swore they were the size of his fist, watching him. He blinked,
and heard the sound of heavy, labored breathing echoing through the cave, more of the warm liquid falling against his skin. It smelled of spit and iron, Stiles holding it up to his face as best as possible. Drool. It was drool and blood. Hello? Stiles whispered, weakly looking into the darkness again. A giant head looked down at him. Black fur, blue eyes, and something large and silver in its muzzle. Fenrir? Stiles couldn't keep his eyes open any longer, and sleep stole him from the world. Stiles woke to darkness, an inky black that seemed to stay no matter how many times he blinked, but it was warm. Warm and soft and smelled vaguely of wet fur. He reached up into the darkness and felt the thick bristle of fur through his fingers. It wasn't darkness. It was the wolf. Fenrir. He slowly pushed himself up on the cave floor, wincing as he scraped his back on a few of the raised rocks. Sure enough, the wolf's tail had been draped over Stiles, and the rest of the wolf was laying next to him. Bright blue eyes watched Stiles' every move, like he was trying to figure out the best way to attack. But the wolf didn't move. No. It wasn't that it didn't. It was that it couldn't. In the light of the morning sun through the cave entrance, Stiles could see the thin chains against the black fur. They dug into his massive legs and neck, all of them bolted to the walls of the cave to keep the creature from moving more than a few thumbs in either direction. Not that there was much room for the creature to move in the first place. He was massive, almost the size of a horse, though Stiles would guess when the beast stood it would be taller than one. And to top it off, the silver in his muzzle was a sword impaled through the top and bottom parts of his mouth to keep it shut. "You are Fenrir," Stiles whispered, fingers slowly tracing over the chains that had to be Gleipnir before remembering he was dealing with the son of a god. Quickly, he pulled his hands away and moved further from him. "Sorry." The wolf lifted his head and leaned forward as much as he could. Drool and blood dripped from his maw onto the cave floor as the blade cut him with every movement of his mouth, a gurgling growl echoing through the cave in response to Stiles. Stiles hesitated before reaching out and touching the black fur on his face. It was softer than the fur on his tail, but caked with dried blood from the sword. He could see a patch of white-gray under his jaw, but it was almost black from all the blood that had dried there. Stiles couldn't place it, but the sword reminded him of something, or someone. "Can you understand me?" The wolf nodded. "Have you been here long?" Another nod. This time occupied by more gurgled growls and a wet nose pressed against Stiles' arm. Stiles remembered his mother's stories about Fenrir, the son of the trickster god Loki and the giantess Angerboda, the great black wolf gagged with a sword and destined to lie bound to a rock until Ragnarok, judged as cruel and evil because only evil could be expected of him. Like Stiles. "If I remove the sword, will you be able to talk to me?" asked Stiles under his breath. He was surprised when the wolf nodded firmly, the nose pressing harder against his arm. Clearly, the wolf wanted to talk to him, or at least wanted the blade removed. Standing up, Stiles put his hand on the hilt of the sword. "When I say go, you pull down as hard as you can, yes?" Fenrir nodded slowly, blue eyes weary as he braced himself.
"Go!" Stiles yanked up on the blade while the wolf slammed his head down on the cave floor.
With a sickening crunch of bones moving for the first time in ages, the blade came free, and Stiles stumbled to the ground from the sheer force. A howl echoed through the cave, walls shaking from the power behind it. Stiles had to cover his ears quickly, tossing the sword to the side of the cave. When the howl finished, Stiles watched in fascination as the beast shook his massive head, yawning and snapping his mouth now that he had free rein. In the sunlight from the cave entrance, huge teeth flashed like daggers, and suddenly, Stiles was very aware of his mortality.
"Does this mean you're calling down Fimbulwinter?"
joked Stiles, but his voice wavered slightly at the end. "I would if I was Fenrir and you were Ragnarok." The wolf's blue eyes turned directly to him for a moment, and Stiles wondered if he was going to lunge. Instead, he laid back down on the ground and yawned again. "But my name is Derek, and I doubt you are the end of the world." Derek's voice was lighter than Stiles had expected, the tone sending tingles down his spine like the whisper of a cold wind against his neck. It was alluring, but it sounded like one wrong move and he would rip Stiles' throat out with his teeth. If you're not Fenrir, why are you bound in a cave the way he was? Isn't it rude to ask someone so many questions without something in return? Derek's eyes flickered from Stiles' face to something behind him. Confused, Stiles turned around to see the pile of wet clothing heaped together on top of his pack. His pack filled with freshly caught fish. He turned around and crawled over to the pack, the sound of growling and light panting following his movements. Clearly, Derek was hungry with the way he was almost salivating when Stiles turned around. Is this what you meant by something in return? Derek didn't say anything, but nodded as his eyes continued to bore holes into Stiles. Fine, sighed Stiles as he ripped open the pack. But I don't have anything to light a fire with. I won't complain about anything you give me freely. Stiles felt heat on the back of his neck as Derek stared at him, the massive pink tongue licking his jowls slowly. Part of him wondered if Derek meant more by the phrase, anything you give me freely. But he doubted it. Derek just didn't know a better way to say what he meant. That had to be it. Reaching into the bag, he pulled one of the dead eels out and threw it at the wolf. Stiles flinched as Derek snapped his jaws in the air to catch it, crunching down on the creature and eating it, bones and all. He threw another fish, watching as Derek did the same thing without hesitation. Hungry? Starved, actually. Stiles tossed a third fish into Derek's maw, tapping his fingers against the bag. How long have you been tied up? Difficult to say, but I believe 15 winters have passed.
Fifth?
Cursed Stiles. What did you eat during that time? Derek lifted a massive shoulder as best he could, the chains still biting deep into his neck and body. Little mice and rabbits who ran into my cave for shelter. Much like you did. He didn't like being compared to a mouse, or that Derek was talking about eating him like one. But it wasn't exactly wrong. Stiles had run into the cave for shelter. Then why didn't you eat me? Silence fell over the cave as Derek swatted his tail back and forth, mouth open slightly. I still might if you withhold the fish from me. Greedy burger, teased Stiles as he threw another one at him. He swore Derek chuckled as he snatched the perch out of the air and swallowed it whole. Was it just because of the sword in your mouth? Was I too big? If I wanted to eat you, I would have let you die of cold on my floor and ripped your body to pieces as needed. Derek's voice was calm, like he was talking about the weather rather than eating Stiles' dead body. Then what stopped you from letting me die? Because you spoke the old tongue, Derek said, and you smell of someone I used to know. Stiles gripped the bag tighter between his fingers, twisting the rough fabric. He didn't know who he smelled like to Derek, but the only person Stiles spent any amount of time around recently was Scott. And Stiles somehow doubted Scott would find his way into a cave with a creature that only spoke the old tongue.
What is your name?
Derek interrupted his thoughts, and Stiles glanced up to meet the blue eyes watching him.
Stiles, they call me Stiles.
Derek tilted his head at his name, just like everyone else did. But instead of questions about why or how he was named that way, the wolf just repeated it.
Stiles. The heat on the back of his neck returned, and Stiles tossed another fish to Derek to stop thinking about the way his tongue curled around the last S. He shouldn't be thinking about things like that. Not with a giant wolf.
You didn't answer my question before, coaxed Stiles, preparing the next fish already. Why are you bound in a cave like Fenrir?
Derek eyed the fish in Stiles' hand, tailed, brushing back and forth on the floor of the cave. You look chilled.
I think I'll survive.
You may still freeze to death if you stay like that.
My clothes are wet. What would you suggest I do then?
Stiles watched the giant black tail thump on the floor next to the wolf and knew exactly what he was suggesting. He just didn't understand why. Was there some reason Derek was wanting Stiles to be so close to him? Against his better judgment, he moved to the spot next to Derek's warm body. He tossed the fish that was in his hand up for him to catch and leaned against Derek's fur. In response, his tail wrapped around Styles's waist and covered his bare skin as much as it could. Better? Derek let out a grumble that vibrated through Styles's whole body, clearly happy at their positions, and finished chewing his latest fish before talking. It is more agreeable than before, so it will have to do. Oh, it's agreeable. What would be better? Styles snorted at that and nestled against the black fur. If I were to lay with you in my human form. Styles' eyes flicked up, mouth agape now as he realized Derek wasn't just a massive wolf. He was a werewolf. Why would you want to lay with me in human form? I have not tasted human pleasures in a long, long time. Derek growled softly, his tongue coming out to lick his maw slowly. And I would very much like to taste you.
I... Styles was speechless. Hundreds of questions flooded his mind, wondering why Derek hadn't just shifted if he could this whole time, or what tasting him would mean.
Probably to eat you, Styles thought to himself. He should have been concerned about that, but there were more pressing answers he wanted. I'm here, like you wanted. Are you going to answer my question now?
He swore, Derek chuckled. It was a punishment for following the old way. Derek's tail swatted against his lap softly, the wolf letting out a sigh. They said if I was a beast like Fenrir, I should be kept like Fenrir. Styles flinched. He had heard that phrase before from the two Argent siblings. When they had arrived in Beacon Hills 20 winters ago on their boat, everything changed. They claimed they were here to save them from their heathenish ways, but to Styles, it felt like they were just there to be in charge. The old tongue was slowly forbidden. The worship of the old gods led to exile, and anyone who protested was either killed through public execution or died in accidents that couldn't be explained.
If you worship the old gods, you can be punished like the old gods. Those were the last words he had heard before his mother was dragged into the middle of the square and beheaded like the stories of Mamir she had told him.
Styles remembered his father watching in dismay as the Argents gave him a choice, fight for them or join his heathen wife in death. That was the day he became their guard and forbade Styles from ever speaking the language his mother had taught him. Styles had been 10. He had also not been good with being told what to do, so he spoke it in secret. Told stories of the gods to the rocks and the trees, sang the old songs to Loki and Thor in the comfort of the dark. One by one, the people of the village distanced themselves from Styles, and soon all he had left was Scott and his father. And then, when his father died in a hunting accident, he only had Scott. Were the people who bound you here called Argent?
Yes. Derek's body rumbled with the answer, and Styles closed his eyes. They burned my village down and left me here to die as punishment.
Styles' eyes fell on the sword he had tugged out of Derek's mouth and scrambled to his feet so he could grab it. Fingers gripping the hilt, he twisted it between them. It was made of silver. The disc-shaped pommel had the symbol of a beast with three arrows stuck into the back etched in it. This was the Argent sigil. But the Argents didn't use swords. Christopher and Catherine used bows, ranged weapons, and everyone else in the Argent fleet had used a spear and shield. No, there had only been one person who used a sword like this with the Argent crest, and he died nearly 15 winters ago. His father. Was there anyone else with the Argents when they bound you? Derek lifted his head to follow Styles to the sword, his blue eyes on the blade now rather than Styles. Slowly, almost like he had known what Styles was going to ask, Derek nodded his head. Yes. Styles felt his heart picking up again. Earlier, Derek had said he smelled like someone he knew. Had he killed his father, and the Argents retaliated? Had the Argents killed his father, and Derek was just a bystander? As he held the sword closer to himself, more and more questions began rolling through his mind. If you release me, I will tell you what happened. The words were like an arrow through his side. Styles had always mistrusted the Argent story about his father's death, but he had never found any proof. And here, on the day of the solstice, was his answer. All it would take was him releasing Derek, not knowing if he was telling the truth. As soon as the chains were released, he could eat him. or worse. But for some reason, he trusted Derek.
Raising the sword over his head, Stiles brought it down against the metal support that held one of the chains to the wall. The clanging sound of metal being pulled from the stone echoed through the cave, a flash of black powder puffing through the air as well. He turned to the second one, the same loud clang and powder filling the air. Stepping up to the final chain, he lifted the sword above his head and slammed it down, the blade sliding through the chain and into his own skin.
The blade bit through his thigh and knee deep, still sharp even after all this time. Stiles fell back against the cave floor, watching as the wolf stood in his full height for the first time in 15 winters. Warm blood began to pool around him, and he knew this was the end. Such was the fate of those who followed the old ways, he thought to himself as he resigned himself to death. But before he could bleed out, he felt the thick tongue of the wolf lap at the wound. Derek? He flushed a little as the wolf licked up his bare skin over and over, the hot mouth trailing on the parts that were bleeding and some parts that weren't. It was wet, warm, and felt like nothing Stiles had ever dreamed. The tongue moved up his thigh to his cock, wrapping around it for a brief moment before dipping lower.
Derek!
The wound on his leg was already gone. The cut closed and healed like it had never been there. But he was far more concerned about the wolf lapping up his body like it was a meal. Stiles tried to push the head away, but the blue eyes flicked up in warning. Derek had said he was going to eat him, and Stiles hadn't listened. Yet, this wasn't the type of eating Stiles had imagined, and his body reacted to the thought of being consumed in pleasure rather than pain. As if Derek can smell the desire welling in Stiles' body, the wolf let out a growl of need. Slowly, Derek's eyes faded from blue to green, and the black fur melted away to reveal soft pink flesh covered in black hair. His ears were still pointed, and his teeth were still sharp like daggers, but he was as human as Stiles now. Roll over. Derek's human voice was rough, commanding in ways Stiles felt compelled to obey without question. He rolled to his stomach in the puddle of his own cooling blood as Derek's tongue continued to lap between his thighs and the cleft of his ass. Stiles gasped as Derek's tongue pushed into his hole, stretching and pushing himself in without asking, but he didn't need to. Every little lick and thrust was driving Stiles wild, and he found himself rocking against the tongue seeking more, Derek all too willing to give it. Stiles had never had sex, and before he knew it, he was releasing himself onto the cave floor. Everything was sensitive now, but Derek kept going, tongue still thrusting into Stiles like a spear thrusting into the river. The wolf was seeking something, and Stiles didn't know what. Stiles cried out as Derek's tongue slid out of his hole, claws gripping his hip and hair as he yanked his head back. No, gods, please, more. Hush, let me taste you here too. Derek growled before shoving his tongue deep into Stiles' mouth. Stiles kissed back as best he could, tasting himself and fish against Derek's mouth as he did. Fangs nicked his lips and Stiles was choking from this angle. He couldn't breathe as something hard slid between his ass cheeks. Oh gods, I'm gonna be fucked. His mind raced at the thought of fucking for the first time in a cave covered in his own blood and seed, but he honestly couldn't think of a better way to lose it. His vision was fading from the lack of air to his lungs and he bucked against the wolf. Derek pulled away finally and Stiles coughed loudly as he took his first breath of air, eyes rolling back as he felt fangs drag over his ear. Breathe. He obeyed and breathed in as Derek reached below him to grab a mixture of blood and seed. Stiles didn't know what the wolf was going to do, but after a moment he felt something push against his hole. Sticky, tacky, and thick. It burned and stretched at first, but then there was no pain. All Stiles could feel was full. Derek's wet hand moved to his other hip, holding him in place as Derek began to fuck into him like an animal. Wild, untamed, with no desire but to breed Stiles like he belonged to him. And, by all the gods in Asgard, Stiles did belong to him for this moment. Stiles wasn't going to sit back, though.
hips thrusting back in time, he spread himself wider so Derek went deeper with every thrust, sweat dripping down his body as they rutted into one another. The sounds that came from Styles' mouth didn't feel like they belonged to him, but rather a beast that had been inside of him waiting to come out. While Styles had been the one to release Derek from his chains, it felt like Styles was finally coming free of his own chains that had bound him too long. More. Styles hissed as he arched himself against Derek and dragged the clawed hands up his body to grip him tighter. Harder. Faster. Derek chuckled at that, and Styles felt the sharp press of fangs against his neck again. I'll breed you if you keep this pace, Styles. It was his name that drew him over the edge, eyes rolling back as he came again. Do it. I want it. As you wish. Styles cried out as Derek's cock seemed to grow bigger at the base, pushing itself deep inside him. Derek's claws gripped tightly against him, squeezing hard as he howled in pleasure and release. It felt like Styles was going to burst with how full he felt, but there was still no pain. His eyes blurred as he looked down to Derek's hands, black veins tracing up and down his arms. He let his fingers trace over the lines and heard a low growl that sounded like contentment from behind him. Sleep, Styles, Derek whispered, nipping at his ear. Styles didn't argue, and for the second time, sleep took him. He woke, feeling stiff from his toes to the roots of his hair, if that was possible, but warm. Wincing, he tried to get up and felt himself held down by a thick arm curled around his waist. Styles tugged again, but the arm just held him tighter. Where are you going? Styles blinked at the human voice, his mind playing catch-up as he remembered that he had just had sex for the first time in a cave with Derek, the former chained wolf. Stretching, that's all. Derek hummed, but let his arm loosen. He took the opportunity to slither out of the grip, barely able to keep his legs under him as he wobbled like a newborn deer. Seed dripped from his legs, his body hardly able to keep it in as he took a few steps forward and stumbled. Styles felt Derek's arms wrapped around him again and pulled him against the warmth of his chest, hot breath on his ear. Careful, I was rougher than I should have been. What did you do? He asked, the tension and stiffness easing almost instantly as Derek touched him. I took your pain. Styles blinked at that. Werewolves can do that? Yes, we can, Derek hummed again, licking up Styles' neck slowly. We can take pain, give pleasure, keep you safe, hide you from the world. Keep your promises, asked Styles, not forgetting what the condition of Derek's release was. He was going to tell him what happened the night he was bound. Keep our promises. Derek agreed and moved back to the cave floor, pulling Styles into his lap and nosing into his neck again. But are you sure you want to know? Some things are better untold. Styles took a moment to think about that. Derek wasn't wrong. There were many things he wished he hadn't learned throughout his life. But if this was his father, if there was even a hint of knowing how he had died, he wanted to know. His mother had been taken by the Argents. If his father had too... I'm sure. Derek cleared his throat, arm tight against Styles' waist like he was holding him in for a long story. I was 18 winters when the Argents burned my village down, and I had escaped into this cave hoping they would pass me over. But they found me. The woman with bright yellow hair, the man with dead eyes who followed her like a lapdog, and their companion, who carried a sword and had bluer eyes than mine. The sword man begged for my life, said I was a child no older than his son and I should be spared. But they didn't care. They attacked him first and I shifted into my wolf to protect him. But that was what they wanted. The woman took the old man's sword from his bloody hands and slammed it into my mouth while her brother pulled silver chains out of his bag. The two bound me to the cave while their traveling partner died on the cave floor, begging them the whole time to let me go with his dying breaths. When they finished with me, they dragged his still-breathing body out of the cave. I cannot say what happened, but I heard the screams of pain and smelled the burning of flesh and cloth before silence again.
With his sword in my muzzle, I couldn't even say the rites for him in our tongue. I prayed for him silently in hopes that he would be chosen as a warrior of Valhalla. Styles couldn't move. He had known the Argents were the reason for his father's death, but he hadn't been able to prove anything. It was his words against the Argents, and no one in the village would believe him. He was the son of a heretic, after all. Scott couldn't say anything for fear of them revoking his right to marry Allison, and Styles was left to pick up the pieces of his life alone. Well, not anymore. Derek wasn't the only beast free from his chains. Slowly, Styles stood up from Derek's lap, grabbing the sword covered in his dried blood and gripping the silver handle tightly. Light was no longer showing through the cave's entrance, which meant that it was the start of the solstice. Scott would have already left with Allison, never to return, so the only people in the village left were those that shunned him and the Argents. Styles looked to the cave entrance and saw fat, white flakes of snow falling from the sky, the first snow he had seen in his life. It was a sign from the gods. You may not be Fenrir, but would you like to help me bring down the fires of destruction? Styles asked, turning to look at Derek with determination. Derek's eyes flashed blue, and the wolf smiled wider than Styles had ever seen, face already rippling with the change of his shift. Lead the way, Ragnarok.